Our text for this evening is Psalm 38, verses 1 to 8. Psalm 38, verses 1 to 8. A Psalm of David for the memorial offering. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. For my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. Psalm 38 is one of David's penitential psalms. David had sinned against God, and just as it is in Psalm 51, as in Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, we hear David in this psalm crying out to God for mercy. The psalm has much in common with the earlier penitential psalms of David, Psalm 6. I read you Psalm 6 in verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. And David says the same thing in Psalm 38 verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Again in Psalm 32, which is another penitential psalm of David, Psalm 32 verse 3, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Psalm 38 verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. I am feeble, Psalm 38 verse 8. Psalm 38 verse 8. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. Psalm 32 and verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. We come back to Psalm 38 and verse 18. I confess my iniquity. Psalm 38 verse 18. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. Most likely Psalm 32, Psalm 38 and Psalm 51 were written as a result of the same sad situation of David's sin against Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, with whom he had committed adultery and then planned and executed the murder of Uriah, her husband. God is a just God and he will punish sin. David's sins had brought God's hand of chastisement upon himself. He had become a very sick man because he had lived in unconfessed sin over a period of a year. And during that time, God's hand of chastisement was heavy upon David. In verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 38, we read, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Now, we must understand that not all affliction comes upon us because of some particular sin. In fact, Jesus answered this question of his disciples in John chapter 9. John chapter 9 verses 1 to 3. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So not all affliction comes because of sin and disobedience, but physical troubles can be a consequence of sin. After Jesus healed the man who was lying sick at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, he told him in John 5 verse 14, John 5 verse 14, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. So, this man's physical infirmity of 38 years, which made him so invalid, was due to some sin or sins that he had committed. In this psalm, David doesn't question the legitimacy of his suffering. He had admitted his sins. In Psalm 38 verse 18, I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. But David wondered why his suffering is so severe. And like the prophet Habakkuk, David wanted God to be merciful. In Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2 we read, Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2, O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear? In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. In the King James Version, the title of Psalm 38 goes this way, Psalm 38 verse 1, the King James Version, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. This title is also found in Psalm 70. The New American Standard Version reads this portion of scripture for a memorial. It says for a memorial. And the NIV reads this as a petition, a petition. The ESV reads this as a memorial offering. For God to remember someone means that God begins to act on their behalf and meet their need. In the book of Genesis chapter 8 verse 1 we read, but God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth and the waters subsided. So God remembered Noah. God remembered Abraham in Genesis chapter 19 verse 29. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. God remembered Rachel. God listened to the cry of Rachel when she was barren. In Genesis chapter 30 verse 22, then God remembered Rachel and God listened to her and opened her womb. God remembered Hannah. God remembered Hannah when she was barren. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verses 19 to 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verses 19 to 20. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. David wanted God to remember him and grant him forgiveness and healing. When God's people suffer, the consequences of sin and feel the chastening hand of God, we have three choices that we can make. We can, number one, focus on ourselves and experience the pain of sin, as it is described here in Psalm 38 verses 1 to 8. Or we can focus on others and experience the loneliness of sin, Psalm 38 verses 9 to 14. Or we can focus on the Lord and experience forgiveness of sin, Psalm 38 verses 15 to 22. We can make either of these three choices. For now, we will just look at verses 1 to 8 in Psalm 38. Pain hurts. And David is not ashamed of writing about the kind of pain that he's going through. He expresses a number of vivid pictures of pain to convey to the Lord and to us the severity of his suffering. As a loving father, the Lord first rebuked David and then chastened him. Psalm 38 verses 1 to 3. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. God rebukes David and God chastens, disciplines David because God loved David. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 11 to 12. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. So God rebukes David and chastens him because God loved David. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verses 6 to 11, we read, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So when God rebukes us, we better listen to those words of rebuke from his heart to us. Otherwise, we will have to face the weight of his hand of discipline upon us. Psalm 32 verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. So David was facing a sin stroke, not a sun stroke. And this happens to our lives too. When we don't listen to God's word of rebuke, then this will happen. Psalm 39 verses 10 to 11. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. So God was shooting arrows at David, hurling down one affliction after another with great force. Psalm 38 verse 2. For your arrows have sunk into me and your hand has come down on me. In the book of Job, we read Job saying in Job chapter 6 verse 4. For the arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Again in Job 7 and verse 20. If I sin, what do I do to you, you watcher of mankind? Why have you made me your mark? Why have I become a burden to you? The word mark there means target. It was as though God had made Job his target. That's how Job saw his suffering. That's how he felt. In Job 16 verse 12, I was at ease and he broke me apart. He seized me by the neck and dashed me to pieces. He set me up as his target. David was drowning in a sea of suffering. In Psalm 38 verse 4, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Psalm 69 and verse 2, I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. Psalm 88 and verse 16, your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. Psalm 130 verses 1 and 2. Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. And then David, in great detail, he describes his loathsome disease. Psalm 38 verse 7. The King James Version. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Now, this was not one isolated sickness. It was a collection of physical disorders that produced searing pain. The NIV says that. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. Psalm 38 verse 7. The NIV. He had fever and inflammation, festering wounds that smelled foul and looked ugly. Psalm 38 verse 5. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. His heart wasn't functioning properly and his eyes were getting dim. Psalm 38 verse 10. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. So there was no health in his body. Psalm 38 verse 7. For my sides are filled with burning and there is no soundness in my flesh. 1 minute he was burning with fever and then he is numb and he is feeble. Psalm 38 verse 8. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. His body was feeble and agonizing in pain, and he walked about all day like a man at a funeral, mourning. Psalm 38 verse 6. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. At times his pain was so severe, he cried out like a wild beast. Psalm 38 verse 8. I read from the King James Version. I am feeble and so broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Now we must not forget, all of this was happening to David because David had become foolish and had sinned against the Lord. Psalm 38 verse 5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. In Psalm 107 tells us in verse 17, Psalm 107 verse 17, fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. When we sin, we are being foolish. We are free to disobey the Lord, but we are not free to choose the consequences of sin or change the consequences of sin. We will have to face the consequences of sin because God is a righteous God. He is a just God and he will judge sin. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, nobody can deny that there is pleasure in sin. If there were no pleasure in sin, nobody would fall into temptation. The Bible speaks about pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, what does the Bible mean by using the phrase pleasures of sin for a season? What season? The answer is the season of sowing. The season of sowing. The pleasure of sin comes when we sow. The pain comes when we reap. So that is why David gives us such a description of sin in Psalm 38 of what we will suffer when we sin. Psalm 38 verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. So when we sin, we are bound to face God's rebuke and God's discipline. God loves us too much. He loves us too much. He will not pamper us when we sin. He will discipline us when we sin. We saw how David went on to say that God's arrows were piercing him and God's hand was pressing down on him. All of his bones hurt. His iniquities had gone over his head as if he were drowning in a sea of sin. His wounds were foul, festering. He was mourning all the day long. Now, why did God put this description in the Bible? Why does David compare the consequences of sin to being pierced by arrows? Why does he compare the consequences of sin to being pressed by God's hand? Why compare the consequences of sin to sickness or a heavy burden or to drowning, suffocating, and no peace? The answer is this: because God wants us to hate sin. Knowing the consequences of sin ought to warn us against sinning. So the next time you're tempted, look past the pleasure to the pain and learn to say no. Remember what David says in the psalm. If you say, I'm a Christian, I can sin. No, you are wrong. As a believer in Christ, you have no license to sin. You will reap the consequences because God chastens his own, because God wants us to walk in holiness. So as believers in Christ, let us say no to sin. And let us also encourage our fellow believers to say no to sin. And let us live in such a way that we don't encourage other people to sin. Let's not become stumbling blocks to others. The Bible tells us that we must be careful that even our eating habits should not become stumbling blocks to others. Romans chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. And we must also have sympathy for those who have fallen, those who have fallen into sin. We must help them to be restored. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. It is sad to reap the consequence of sin. It is sad to reap the consequences of sin, even forgiven sin. David knew that. So let us encourage and restore the fallen. And let us also learn to love the Lord more and more. Why? Because Jesus went through all of those consequences of sin for us on the cross. He felt the burden. He felt the arrows. He felt of what it meant to be drowned, as David describes. He felt all of that so that we could be forgiven. And we also need to learn that he died not only to forgive us of our sins, but he also died to break the power of sin that grips us. He died not only to forgive us of our sins, but he also died to break the power of sin that grips us. Romans chapter 6 verse 10. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So he not only died in my place as my substitute on the cross, he also died as my representative. He died for my sin, but he also died to my sin, which means he also died as me to sin. He died for my sin, but he also died as me to sin. That means he included me in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. So all that happened to him on the cross happened to you and me. In Christ, therefore, we are dead to the power of sin. We are dead to the grip of sin over our lives. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. We are not only forgiven, but we are dead to the power and the grip of sin over our lives. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Remember, it's a past event. He says, I have been. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for me. And when he died, I died to sin. And he has raised us up and he has seated us with him in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Ephesians 2 verse 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Therefore, in Christ, we have the power to live a life of victory. This power comes to us by virtue of the position to which Jesus has raised us up. He has lifted us up and seated us with him. That is our position. And this power comes also because of the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives. Therefore, we offer our bodies to God so that God can work in and through us. We offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We don't indulge in sin because we have been delivered from the dominion of sin. We have been delivered from the domain of sin. We are delivered from the domain of darkness, from the domain of Satan. Colossians chapter 1 verses 10 to 14. We have been delivered from the domain of Satan. Colossians chapter 1 verses 10 to 14. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We are not sinless people, but we can live blameless lives. Lives that are free from the guilt of sin and the power and grip of sin. Sin is not a habit in the life of a believer. Sin is an exception in the life of a believer. We are not sinless, but we sin less. We are not sinless, but we are blameless. We can live a life of conscious victory over conscious sin, and we can forget about our unconscious sins till God makes us conscious of our unconscious sins. When God makes us conscious of our unconscious sins, we confess those sins because the blood of Jesus Christ forgives us of all our sins. So when our unconscious sins become conscious to us, we confess those sins, and by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we are dead to those sins, alive unto God. We can forsake those sins by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We can yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit who works in us. As we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He breaks the power of those particular sins in our lives. He puts to death the misdeeds of our bodies so that we can live. Romans chapter 8 verses 11 to 14. This is why it is so important to live in the realm of God's Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verses 11 to 14. Romans 8 verses 11 to 14. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. In 1 John chapter 3 verses 8 to 9 we read, 1 John chapter 3 verses 8 to 9, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So we can experience that abundant life that Jesus our Savior promised us. In John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We walk by faith in step with the Holy Spirit. We walk in victory because in Christ we stand on victory ground. We fight from victory, not for victory. Jesus has already won that battle for us on the cross. He died and rose again for us. In Christ, we have forgiveness of sin and we have victory over sin and Satan. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So let us experience forgiveness and also victory by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?